Coming soon to a theater near you, Mind Swimmers. It's GRDS Weekly. GRDS Weekly episode number
239.
Really? How did you possibly know that?
I knew it.
You just said that again, but with confidence. That's crazy. See what I did there? That's insane. Hi, we're the folks. You might know us from that little website called geekradiodaily.com. We've got that 15-minute-ish Monday to Friday, more daily than the Daily Show podcast that keeps you up with everything. You know, all the geek without the weight, all that fantastic stuff. The folks gathered around the table tonight, the lady who is humble, it's the Flintstress.
I don't want to go around telling the whole world I'm a genius like James Franco.
The gentleman who's always exceeding expectations, it's Saucy.
You're way more twisted than I'd ever hoped.
Well, there you go. And I'm the guy whose day did not quite go as planned. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I was hoping for a little power struggle resolved by some naked wrestling.
I'm just saying. Oh. So what you been doing, geeky? Yo.
Tons of stuff. I'm actually going to wait for the big finish on the song. I love the end of it.
Was that your workaholics moment there? Your little, I'm going to wait for the, you're going to wait for the end. Yes, you are. Yeah, dog, going to wait for the end. Yeah, it was just the timing there. It was weird to me.
Well, let's start with Constantine. We just watched that. And this is when there's all this talk about the internet about how Constantine's going to get canceled. But I like it. You know, it's kind of Monster of the Week, but it sort of makes sense that it's Monster of the Week. And we did have a two-part episode not that long ago. So we have caught up on Constantine. The one where it was the nun who he used to be with. And then they had the two-part where they were exorcising the demon that was eating babies. That one was pretty good.
It was good. Yeah.
And then in this next one, I mean, it hit home because it was Chaz's family was involved.
Right.
And we finally got to find out about how he doesn't die / regenerates and what's all going on with that.
Which, you know, I have to say is a very Hellblazer-like way of explaining that, because I had the biggest problem with that. Been my only real issue with the show so far. I was wondering about that. So
about how they were going to do it?
Why they were doing that.
Well, because that wasn't something from the graphic novel?
Not for the... Based on, I don't know where they are in the life of John Constantine in this, because it doesn't seem like that far after Newcastle. And if it's not, him and Chaz should still be getting drunk quite often. But they've done this little mission for Monster of the Week, which I'm cool with. But the whole, I wasn't understanding the death part. I was confused. Well, that's all right, though. They brought me Felix Faust.
That's cool. I know you were squeeing. You were geeking out.
That's a name I never thought I'd hear on television. So, yeah. And then Carrabba's. So, good Lord. Yeah, yeah. No, some good throwouts. Shout outs to John Constantine.
Thanks. I like the special effects usage in the show a lot.
Right, right.
Because it's not too much. It's just the right amount for the fact that it's supernatural. And it's well done enough that you're not like, oh, this is taking me out of the show because the special effects are shitty, you know? So, it's actually, I really like this show.
So, better than a sci-fi original movie.
Yes.
Nice.
By far. Nice. Okay. Saucy?
I love it. I enjoy Constantine in general. I even enjoyed the movie that everybody else seems to not like so much.
It's because it is not John Constantine.
I understand that.
When they should have just changed the name of it and made him somebody else. If you take a character and a property, why would you change the character and the property? I just don't get when Hollywood does that.
Yeah, I'm going to be sad.
Keanu Reeves was John Constantine.
Yeah.
He wore a regular suit. He was not blonde, obviously. He did not have an English accent. For that, I'm sure we're all grateful because we saw Dracula.
Whoa. So, yeah.
Whatever.
He doesn't cast a reflection. Whoa.
And we got a little bit of a backstory on Zed and what's going on with her. And, you know, so that's just kind of interesting. I hope they don't just pull the plug on the show because there's definitely questions unanswered.
Damn it, NBC.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I guess, what would we send if we were trying to save the show? You know how fans of shows will send things in?
Eye of Newt?
Holy water?
I have no idea.
Something, who knows? Crazy. Something super
beer,
fun.
Beer, really? But why would I send beer?
No, we'd drink beer.
Exactly.
Speaking of drinking beer.
Yes.
We made our own beer.
There you go.
It was great.
Yeah. And so we got one of those beer kits for Christmas.
Right.
And I didn't realize how long it takes to make beer. You mix all the ingredients in there and you let it sit for 2 weeks.
And that was instant beer.
Yeah. That's not even the real stuff. Right. Now there's a beer snob with an interesting mustache
two
going
weeks.
2 weeks. Turn on my phonograph. I need to drown my sorrows. Okay.
And he's wearing those crocheted shorts. Have you seen those? Anyway.
What?
They're shorts made out of old Afghan blankets. Have you seen those?
Oh, God. Okay. Shorts, made of Afghan blankets.
I want a pair.
Oh, no, you don't.
So they're all about the throwback.
Hello? Hi, it's the 1930s. Can we have our words and clothes and shitty airplane back? And hey, watch out for that Adolf Hitler. He's a bad egg.
Alrighty then.
The breeze would be fantastic.
Febreze usually is.
Yeah. Well, I know that wasn't a clip from Archer, but the voice sort of sounded like Archer.
That was a clip from Archer.
Yeah. Okay. It sounded like Archer, so yeah, I should have just gone with it.
Yep.
Wow. So we have seen 3 episodes of Archer.
Nice. Ooh.
And this season is just as great as everything else, I think. But there are just so many subversive, funny moments when they're back in their headquarters. They're not really calling it ISIS anymore.
Well, because they work for the CIA.
Right. So they work for the CIA. They're a subcontractor group for the CIA. And Cheryl and Pam, them basically recreated the office exactly as it was, which is just crazy. Except for that random hot tub room.
Yeah. Got to have that special place. Gotta have your own.
So, but yeah, it's back at the banter between Archer and Lana. Yeah. Lana! And it's just all of the innuendo and the lines, eat a buffet of dicks.
Eat a buffet of dicks.
Is like the new line of it. No more quotable show on TV than Archer.
I aspire to be Archer.
Good luck to you.
We're not doing phrasing anymore.
So you want the tinnitus?
I don't care.
Okay. Well, might be worth it, I
tetanus,
suppose.
Tetanus, tinnitus, I don't care.
There's a shot for
rabies,
both of them.
I don't know.
In the most recent episode, the Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Oh, excellent joke.
Every time, at least once during an episode of Archer, I have to pause it because I'm just laughing so freaking hard. So funny. Archer. Best show. Also, it's been pretty fun to watch. We've seen the, 3 parts so far of the Gallivant?
Gallivant, yeah.
Miniseries, yep. And so. Yep.
Tomorrow finishes up, I do believe.
Yeah, we've got one more episode of that to go. And it's just been fun. Medieval romp through time. And
it's interesting, though, that they took a half hour show and gave us an hour's worth for 3 weeks instead of, you know,
instead
6 weeks.
Instead of actually spreading it out. Yeah.
I don't know why. I guess, I don't know.
Well, as somebody who doesn't like to wait for things, I'm fine with it.
Well, there you go. Works for you.
It's kind of grown on me, actually. I didn't think I was going to like it to start out. The first episode wasn't really that great. I'm like, this is kind of boring. And then,
well, it's like it knows exactly what it is, and it's making fun of itself also at the same time, too, sort of. The king is pretty hilarious. You know,
his henchman,
his squire.
Though.
Oh, yeah, his henchman. hilarious. Even funnier than the king.
And the chef.
Yeah.
My 2 favorite characters in the whole
definitely
thing.
Hello there, children.
Not that chef.
Oh, sorry.
Different chef.
Okay.
Watched Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Flynn's been playing the Alien Isolation game. And so we watched. I didn't watch the entire thing of it.
I was wondering. I was like.
I watched part of it.
Okay.
Though.
I'm with you there.
I didn't remember you being there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where you were at. Because,
and then I watched the dishes for a while. Oh, I was holding the baby, though. And every time an alien or something would come onto the screen, I would go, ah! And I would jolt.
Oh, yeah. And then you laugh.
And so I.
And if you've never seen a baby hit a ceiling. It's really something.
I did not throw the baby. Don't kick the baby.
Well, yeah, so I'm sorry, but now we have to dovetail into my week real quick, because Alien Isolation continues to be a very wonderful and immensely frustrating game, but in that great way. And you kept having a problem with it, wondering why did it just kill the thing. And so I was like, okay, damn it, let's watch this movie, because you need to understand.
Right, because Spencer had not seen Alien.
Not seen Alien.
So you were like, why don't you just kill it?
Which was a little...
Well, now you know why.
So what did you think of a sci-fi film from 1979?
It wasn't terrible.
Oh my God, listen to you.
It wasn't terrible.
Right now people are groaning.
It holds up, I think, very well, especially because it was almost, I mean, it was all practical
effects. The
effects
were good.
Right.
Yeah.
But it just was creepy. Like,
you know, I almost prefer effects like that. If they're in that style, but they're good. They have to be good. They have to be spot on.
Well, like, you
but
know.
But I prefer it because that's craftsmanship of movies.
Right.
The craftsmanship of movies is dying, just like the craftsmanship of everything
else.
Why
in life. Bother making a model of something when we can just CGI it?
Because I made you watch the thing and then told you there just was no CGI, and you were like, oh my Jesus, because all the stuff that happened in there. So, but Alien, good film.
Yeah, I watched at least part of it.
Okay.
We're a quarter of the way, maybe, into the second one.
Into Aliens, yeah. Yeah, we got interrupted watching it. The crew has just landed on LV-426. Well, they're about to do the drop for LV-426, so yeah. And it was kind of blowing your mind of the stuff they left out of this one. They left out of theatrical. I only watch the special editions now. I do not go back and watch theatrical cuts of any of the Alien films, because... those little small Alien. It's just the one scene, which I think is crucial. But in Aliens, there's so much more that's left out.
Yeah, already there's like the biggest scene of the movie. They were gonna cut
two biggest scenes of the movie. I didn't tell you about the other one that was cut that you saw as well.
Crazy. We'll talk about that later.
Indeed.
Well, thinking about things taking place in space.
Sure.
We so Flynn recorded something on the DVR, but then we went, wait a minute, maybe we should start at the very beginning of sort of the beginning. Anyway.
Okay. Why don't you say what it is?
Battlestar Galactica.
There you go.
Spencer had not seen Battlestar Galactica. So Flynn had downloaded
the... Let's just change the name of this podcast to Shit Spencer Ain't Seen.
We could do that.
This week on Shit Spencer Ain't Seen.
Blood and Chrome.
It used to be Shit Flinsters Ain't Seen.
So welcome. Welcome.
Yep.
So yeah, Blood and Chrome came on like 3 o'clock in the morning on Sci-Fi.
Oh yeah, the one with the young Adama.
Right. So we recorded. That's what the hell you were talking about.
Right.
So we recorded that, and the concept was, well, I don't know, being a prequel, if there would be anything that would be spoiled for the for Battlestar Galactica.
And not even just spoiled. I think you're just going to appreciate it more going in the going in the order that stuff was released. Like, because he's going to have to watch Battlestar Galactica and then Caprica and then.
Well, we'll see.
Blood and Chrome.
We'll see if he's going to stay after the final episode.
That's true.
That's
true. He may or may not.
He may or may not stay.
So, he may not go to Caprica. But so we watched, what did we watch?
We watched the miniseries and one of the greatest episodes of television ever made, 33. The one where they attack every 33 minutes.
Oof. Yeah, it just messes with your mind.
Yeah, that's what the show continues
to
do.
And this was the first time I have watched Battlestar Galactica since watching it the first time through. And so, like, you see everything.
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 It's just the
it's
so everything is
obvious.
Just there.
It's just right there.
Big, broad strokes of primary color paint.
Yeah. And it blew Spencer's mind. Okay. It can't be a spoiler because it's been out for a long time, right? We've talked about
this. We've had shows about
but
this.
But in the episode 33, where they leave the one guy at the supply depot, and then he turns out to actually be a Cylon. You remember? The reporter guy?
It was the end of the miniseries, not episode 33.
Oh, the end of the miniseries. Right, the end of the miniseries. When they leave the guy there and he turns out to be a
Cylon. What is she spoiling now? I haven't seen 33 episodes.
The episode was called 33.
The episode after the one thing you're talking about, yes.
Anyway, so, and then we see the six, and we see some of the other guys, and we see some of the other guys.
Right.
And then we see
another Cylon.
And Spencer, he was so pissed off about it. And I was like, that's right, I remember. I was so pissed off about that. So it's just kind of
Oh, you think you're pissed off now?
She's an enjoyer.
Well,
and they have
it,
a plan.
If you think about it, things that, like, the actors didn't know things.
Did not.
Right.
So
it's just like totally blowing my mind.
Okay, that'll happen.
Anyway, very cool. And it's just, and they all look so young. And so just like,
Look.
Not battle hardened or anything.
Short hair, Katie Sackhoff. All I got to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No.
No? You can go burn
in hell.
Well,
Spencer doesn't like blondes anyway.
I, generally don't. So there you go. It's Katie Sackhoff though. So that totally works.
We also watched The Flash.
Oh,
yes. Not that Flash, but the other one.
The only Flash.
Scuba. Scuba is an acronym. Maybe Firestorm is an acronym.
That was the dumbest guy.
Stop it. We will not pick out the only flaw that's ever been with this show.
Well, I remember at the time going, really? Really?
It was very heavy-handed.
Very fun. It was fun. But that.
I love that show. I do.
It was worse than Batman and Robin, some of their, you mean TikTok. That must mean that they're,
Mean Batman. Batman and Robin is the horrible George Clooney
Batman
movie.
Batman and Robin's figuring out process is what
okay.
I meant. Sorry.
Right. Thank you.
From the only real Batman ever, okay. Adam West and Bruce okay. Ward, which we've been watching. That's MJ's favorite show. So, she loves Batman.
Indeed.
And they do the dance. Na 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 na. And she loves the bright colors and everything like that. So that's her absolute favorite show. So we've been watching a lot of that. But anyway, but on The Flash,
It was a Prison Break reunion.
It was a bunch of the actors from Prison Break. But it was also now everybody knows that the Flash exists.
Yeah. So,
my name is Barry Allen and I'm not the fastest man.
Yeah,
on
that was
Earth.
Crazy.
That was an excellent way to set this up. I was like, oh, look at there. Oh, the reverse Flash is playing such an interesting
lines I hold amongst the greatest.
I'm telling you, this where it's going, it's insane. And I know they're setting up, there's another character, there's another villain that they're working on. I can tell, I believe.
Yeah.
Just in things that I'm seeing, but yes. So I don't know if Firestorm's going to get his own show or not. I don't know. And we haven't seen Arrow yet, so we.
I know we have Arrow sitting on the DVR.
Because oh my god, he was thrown off a mountain without his shirt on. Jesus Christ!
Right? Yeah.
They fought on top of an ice mountain wearing no shirts.
Oh yeah,
that way it was totally different. That way it wasn't a ripoff. See, this is totally different. We're not taking Batman storylines. Batman duel to the death with Ra's al Ghul shirtless in the desert. We're on a mountain that's ice.
Ice.
Totally different.
Totally.
The opposite of desert.
Totally.
Totally. Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly. Ask me about it later.
Okay,
we also watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Indeed.
So Spencer had not seen Guardians. Spencer ain't seen Guardians of the Galaxy. And I guess he just didn't feel like going to the movie theater with us when we went to go see it in the theater.
It's probably working.
Yeah. Oh,
it came out the same time I was trying to be a manager and whatnot.
Yeah. So that was also super fun watching it the second time. You see things you didn't see the first time, especially when you're at home and you can pause it and you could really try to like look and see what else the collector had and all that other stuff. So,
oh yeah. Howard the Duck was there the whole time.
So Spencer, what did you think about Guardians of the Galaxy?
I loved it. It was great. Big Rocky the Raccoon.
Rocket the Raccoon. Yeah.
Rocky, what did Rocket. You call me?
Rocket.
It's Rocket. Trust Rocket. Me.
That is
it's
funny.
Ranger Rick.
Some of the best lines, you know, are just those throwaway lines like, we're just like Kevin Bacon. And like, he got my dick message.
Right?
Just some of the.
That was my favorite.
Because he's got just that look on his face when he says.
Right. Like he's just genuinely excited about it. So it's just
super fun. Message.
And the extras and the bloopers and everything. Yeah, it was super fun.
And again, Vin Diesel's best work.
Yeah, one of
that and Iron Giant.
Yeah, I still teared up with when We Are Groot.
All right.
Yeah. Whew.
Thanks for having
everything.
Thanks for having everything ready to have a dancing Groot in time for Christmas,
I
Marvel.
Cried at Battlestar Galactica.
I know. I looked over at you and you were just like super pouty face and I was like, oh my God.
Well, it was when Commander Adama realized that Lee wasn't dead and he just hugged him and I was
And
just
you
like,
were just back there just going at it, just like,
I have a baby now. Someday she's gonna be grown up and she's gonna be a pilot. I don't know. It was one of those moments.
Weak.
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. Anyway, that has been my geeky week.
Okay. What you got, yo?
Well, me and MJ watched Lion King the other night. It's pretty awesome. She stayed awake for most of it. See here, we watched a couple of episodes of Adventure Time.
Oh.
Just off on demand, randomly waiting for Tom and Jerry.
He's got Finn hat on.
And Workaholics is back on.
Yes, it
we're
is.
We're really enjoying Workaholics. Oh.
Is it Tight Butthole?
Oh. Totally Tight Butthole.
It's the tightest tight butthole there's ever been.
It's one of those shows that I like it, but I can't watch it all the time. I like it in small doses.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's you.
Whatever. I'll watch a marathon.
Indeed.
All day.
I did yesterday or the day before, whenever that was. Good times.
Well, gosh, that's pretty much it. We've been doing a lot of group activities.
So I kind of stole
and
your
Flintstress
geeky
is a geeky week hog. She kind of talks about everything.
Well, I usually don't remember much of
it's
anything.
True.
Usually
except for everything.
Usually she would have forgot half of this.
No, literally.
I know.
No, right. I get that.
Everything on my list.
You know that whole exception.
Did we talk about Orphan Black last time? We watched Orphan Black.
Pretty sure. I did finish the first season of Orphan Black.
Oh, so we got to start season two then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Amazon Prime is actually all right.
We're doing that.
Enjoying it.
Well, I got a couple of things that should have been on your list, and I don't know why the hell you missed them.
Because he forgot.
Because we watched Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
We did watch Gotham.
Another episode of Gotham.
I got that on my list, too.
Jim Gordon's back now, away from Arkham Asylum, back as a regular cop. And
after being relegated to Arkham, yeah.
And sort of, I don't know, molested by Marina Baccarin?
Well, he didn't seem to.
I didn't say mine. Yeah. I'm just saying that.
She definitely initiated.
Now, I understand it's going to be different. They're rewriting it as we go. I get that. But Leslie Tompkins, this is just not Leslie Tompkins in my mind. And I'm having a hard time coming around. Has Leslie Tompkins met Bruce Wayne in this show?
No. Not that we've seen. No.
Not that we've seen. And that's kind of a problem for me. Because in the comics, she's the person, the cops are all around, whatever. She's the person that walks up and just puts her arms around a young boy and tries to make his world a, you know, he really, you know, Batman owes a lot of what he is and who he wants to be to her. So I don't know. It just seems weird to have Marina Baccarin sort of going into the men's locker room to find Gordon. I don't know, but it doesn't matter because the Penguin's on the screen and oh, Jesus God, does things light up. So that's all that we really need to do that. So the season finale of American Horror Story.
Dun, dun, dun. See, I knew I forgot at least some things. Yeah.
Wow.
I was not expecting Showtime to be exactly Showtime. I was not expecting that.
I knew something was definitely going to go down, but I didn't think it was going to be quite that extensive.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about this show every time. You never can quite figure out exactly how things are going to wrap up because, yeah, I just didn't see it ending that way. Didn't see it going that way at all. So
but the final ending, though, it's pretty legit.
Indeed. So now we've got to wait for the next one to see what that's going to be and if it's going to tie even further into the rest of them and start making all those connections. Even though there's been quite a few now. And I'm telling you, you got to go back.
I got to watch the first two.
You do. Because
or three? Is it two or three?
You watched Coven.
I watched
Three was Coven. You missed Asylum in the first series, which was just called American Horror Story, which is now basically called American Horror Story Murder House. Because that's what it was. It was about the murder house.
He, she, they, murder house.
Who wasn't murdered in the murder house, basically? But yeah, good show, good times. We caught some Broad City.
Oh, yeah.
The comedic stylings of
Pretty
some
good.
Broad City.
Pretty it was interesting. Interesting.
I'd like to see some more of it.
I thought of something else.
Oh, my God. Should we stop now so you can talk about it? Do it. Yeah.
Well, Broad City was funny.
Okay. So moving on then.
12 Monkeys.
Yes.
We watched a couple episodes of the series of 12 Monkeys. Spencer fell asleep. Don't say we fell asleep.
Did I fall asleep?
Yes.
Yeah. You really did. I got to say that I'm kind of impressed. You know, I'm having some fun with it. It's weird to see Pyro being our hero, I suppose. But, you know, I love the movie.
Is that where I know him from?
Yeah, you know him from X-Men. Absolutely. I love the movie. And I don't mind the show being a somewhat yet different version because Terry Gilliam's film is based on La Jetée, the French film. So it's its own different version of the same story. I don't mind him changing it up a bit. But I have to ask myself, do you have a bunch of seasons planned out? Because...
Yeah, I don't know.
We're like quickly moving through, but it seems like we're picking up some information kind of quick. But I'm definitely in for the ride unless they do something incredibly stupid.
He hasn't found Sarah Connor yet.
He has not found Sarah Connor, so we do have that to thank for. Randomly been catching movies on IFC because as it turns out, while they do show commercials, their films are not edited for content nor time. So the entire film is there and I can deal with that. Right. I can appreciate that. Caddyshack was on. Fletch was on. Dazed and Confused has been on 27 times.
Yes.
All right. I'll watch it
27 out of 27 times.
Pretty much. Well, you left that one half. So 26 and a half you did. Because like, oh, I saw it.
No. Well, yeah.
Technically.
And I've been reading some more issues of the Star Trek comic based on the new films, their further adventures, which is just... Really, if you like the show, if you like the movie, even if you don't like the movie but you like the original show, you should give the comic a spin because it's what it is. You need to remember the movies were always different than the show. The movies were always more action-adventure-oriented than the show, and I think that's what a lot of people are missing out on. I don't know why, but you know, sometimes people like to be difficult. Now think about that. I'm the one that said that.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor... From their lips to your basement, to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
Fool, I ain't got no basement. Fool.
Fool.
Yeah. So, we have an app, which, you know, Anna told us things about the app that we didn't know that the app could do, which I thought was interesting. You could, you know, call from directly from the app when you pause.
Cool.
I heard something. Let me comment. And then go back and listen to it. I didn't know it did that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all kinds of cool things in the app. Crazy cool things.
We also have some conventions coming up.
We do.
You get a chance to hang out with the GRD crew at Mysticon.
Oh, yeah.
Excited.
I've heard of that place.
Which is the last weekend in February.
And there's a bunch of weekends in February, as it turns out.
Yeah.
More than we thought.
It's even a little bit into March.
It kind of is.
It is.
February, March is on. Oh, that was awful.
And then in April, we'll be at RavenCon.
Sure, but that's months from now.
Yeah, Mysticon is definitely going to be a fun time. It's a unique convention because it's a smaller con, but yet they get some headline guests and the parties are just fun. Mysticon is definitely a good one.
Yeah. Sean Mayer, Peter David's going to be there, so get the Imzadi book autograph.
It's
going
to be my first convention.
You've been to this convention before.
But not as a guest.
Dun, dun, dun. There it is.
Oh, you can actually see Saucy on a panel.
Moving up to the big
leagues. A few panels.
Yeah, no, signing up on things. That's clever and cool. Yeah. So, you know, come see us. And if not, well, you know, save yourself money and maybe visit our Patreon page. And we'll go places and maybe buy you a postcard. That'll work? Postcard? You like that? I like that. That's good times.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed, we do. We have one or two things. Greetings, programs. So I have a random story relating to Squirrel Girl number one from New Comic Day on GRD. The wife and I unlocked her in Lego Marvel for the 360, and we were like, what? I read her bio on Wikipedia, which is really amazing read. And from there, it said that Marvel had been looking to restart her in a new series. It blew our minds this character existed, and she kicks butt and hadn't thought about it again until Wednesday's show. Just blew my mind a bit. It was all and wanted to share. Be excellent to each other. That is from Tommy. So yeah, Squirrel Girl. There's all kinds of weird.
It's hard to say.
Squirrel Girl. Squirrel Girl, Swirls, Shirls. I don't know what else would rhyme with that to make it a horrible, horrible tongue twister. But yeah, so that message from Tommy. So thank you, Tommy.
Yeah. Dearest Geek Radio Daily. Lollipop, Windows 8, and iOS 8. Would it be safe to call 2014 the year of the bad OSs? A Million Ways to Die in the West is really much less terrible than I thought it would be. Maybe as good as Lust in the Dust. I don't know that.
Oh my God, Lust in the Dust. Look at you. Divine is in that, a bunch of people. It is, it's not a good movie, but it's got a good title and some cheesy people. If you like John Waters films, this is not quite as classy. A film.
Okay.
All right.
Well, he says, Million Ways to Die in the West was well worth the free movie code from Redbox. Muppet Most Wanted was also released, but it was released at the same time as so many other like good movies.
Yeah.
So it seemed to not get enough attention because so much other good stuff was out at the same time. I don't understand this whole piracy as a marketing tool. The only non-Marvel movie I wanted to see last year wasn't even in the theaters. Rainbow Rocks might not have been the best movie ever, but it was as awesome as I wanted it to be.
You know what they do with Rainbow Rocks? They build rainbow rope. Just thought you should know that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Zach.
Hi, Happy New Year. Just wanted to say I love GRD Sweekly 238. You did some awesome Sweekly shows a little while back about zombies, TV horror, and ghost stories. Would you consider doing a horror movie one? I've been listening since 2008, and I really appreciate what you guys do. Mark.
Well,
thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. That's really cool. A horror movie thing?
Maybe we should.
Hey, want to watch some horror movies?
Can we talk about the ones I've already seen?
Conjuring.
Possibly. Yeah, sure. Okay. Folds arms and glares.
Uh-oh.
For the record, Wentworth is a remake of an Aussie show called Prisoner from the late 70s, early 80s, which ran for almost 700 episodes and was released.
I thought you were going to say 700 years.
And was, was released
like, forever.
I love this. Was released on DVD in a 174 disc set. And I think that is still the biggest DVD set ever made. I'll have to check that against Dark Shadows. Because that was a bunch too, but you might have it there. And since you finished the American remake, go back and check out the original Aussie version of Wilford. It's damn good and pretty short, about 12 episodes.
I've seen a few of those episodes.
Climbs off soapbox. Glad to have the crew back for 2015. Looking forward to future shows. Less than three, that's bronze thumb. P.S. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
So there you go. So apparently, yes, Wentworth, not Orange is the New Black. Based on a show that had
that's why the arms were crossed.
I never meant episodes. That it was based off of.
I might have said those words, but I didn't mean those words to have the meaning with which you associate those words. That's
sometimes
all right.
I say things I don't mean.
Well, my question though about Wilfred, I need to catch my last season of the American version because otherwise, watching if it's just 12 episodes, if they sure wrap enough. It up in 12 episodes, I don't want to see what they do.
Right.
Because right now. I'm very, goddamn, I've got to find, we have Amazon Prime now. We should look for that. We should definitely look for that. So,
I think we already did.
Did we?
Sad day.
We're going to have to look again. So if you'd like to drop a note, please do. You always can. It's podcast, Billy Flynn, Flinstress, Saucy, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or if you're so inclined to hear your voice spread throughout the universe itself, you could send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
That's where now, is it?
510-GRD-CREW.
Anomaly Online.
And now, with a look at the many places you can go to get your geek on.
Are you sure this is a sci-fi convention? It's full of nerds!
It's the GRD Con Report.
Indeed, the GRD Con Report, a list of all the places you can go to get your geek on for the month of February, and that woos would be?
Well, technically, the weekend is Saturday, January 30th through February.
Cats and dogs together.
Jeez. Friday the 30th through Sunday the 1st.
Sure.
But we've had Bulls Cap in Redmond, Washington. We also have Southwest A&G Expo in San Antonio, Texas. We have OhioCon in Ohio. Aha, Columbus, Ohio. OhioCon. Wow, I'm terrible.
I love it when the jokes come together.
Wow. Chattacon in Chattanooga.
Huh?
And
Chattacon. Chattacon. Chatta, chatta, chatta.
Chattacon.
Chattacon.
Chattacon. Okay. Next weekend after that.
February 5th through the 7th, Superstars Writing Seminar in Colorado Springs, Colorado. February 5th through the 8th, TempleCon in Providence, Rhode Island. The 6th through the 16th is the Boston SF Film Festival in Somerville, Massachusetts. February 6th through the 8th, Potlatch 24, Seattle, Washington.
The 12th through the 15th is Capricorn 34 in Wheeling, Illinois. Then the rest of these are the 13th through the 15th, but Capricorn needed one more. 13th through the 15th, Boscone 52 in Boston, Massachusetts. Farpoint in Timonium, Maryland. I've heard of that. Gallifrey 1. That's a Doctor Who podcast. I love how they put that in parentheses in case you don't know. In Los Angeles, California. And RadCon, dude, it's so rad! In Pasco, Washington.
The weekend after that, there's really only one convention on our list. I guess everybody has to take a break at some point. It is a Taste of Anime-thon in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
It almost got away from you. I love how you held on to that. Good job. Strangle
Stay
that.
On target.
Strangle that mongoose.
February 27th through 1st of March, Mysticon in Roanoke, Virginia.
That's where we'll be.
And 28th of February through the 1st of March, Scandinavian Sci-Fi Game and Film Convention in Malmo, Sweden.
It's not in Scandinavia? That's so
Sweden
weird.
Sweden is part of Scandinavia.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's all the places you can go. If you know of a con coming up that we should make sure we tell people about because it's awesome, please send us a note so we can put it on the list. Again, you can drop that note to podcast Billy Flynn, Flynnstress, Saucy, all at geekradiodaily.com. They'll be going to be sending you all the Wentworth cons, just so you know. Wentworth 700, they're going to call it. That's what they're going to call it. So yeah, episode 239 of GRD's Weekly will continue. And we might be having a guest coming over. You have to stick around and see what that's all about in just a bit.
Okay, you know what it's like. You're flicking through Amazon or the local DVD shop when suddenly you discover a film that you haven't seen in years, but which you remember as being legendary. A purchase is hastily made, you invite friends over, make popcorn and settle down to watch this classic. But then it becomes apparent that your mind has double-crossed you, and that this film is frankly awful. Soon your friends have deserted you, your boss says he has to let you go, and even your dog won't come when you call. How did it go so wrong? Well, in the interests of public harmony, a new podcast, I Saw That Years Ago, sets out to watch the old films that your memory has convinced you are brilliant, but which in reality could be anything but. So join me, your host Martin Darkley, and my compatriot, Gentleman Joe, as we watch the old films so you don't have to. Find us at www.isawthatyearsago.com or on iTunes.
Sierra, final episode. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to hear how it ends.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Hi.
Big finale episode today. Who did it? Just kidding. Can't wait to find out who did it.
Me too. Can't wait to find out who I'm going to say did it.
Nobody knows who did it but you and the person who did it. Today, everyone else finds out.
Sorry. I just, I need to just check on something. Just...
Sarah!
I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, like, way too well-spoken
right.
to be, like, a murderer. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't know anything. Hello? Adnan? Adnan, are you there? This happens a lot. Sometimes I feel like that, oh. Hello?
This is a Global Tel Link prepaid call from
Adnan Syed.
an inmate at Maryland Correctional Facility.
So, like, who killed her, right?
On this week's Serial.
Sorry, Sarah. Sorry, the executives from MailChimp are here. They just wanted to say hi. We are very excited about this. I gotta be honest, this child murder has been really great for MailCrimp.
Do you mean MailChimp?
Yeah, that's what I said. I use MailChimp.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
We can't wait to hear who did it.
Without truth, there can be no justice. And I guess what this podcast is really is just an exploration of that truth.
Indeed, welcome back to GOD East Weekly, episode 239.
Wow. I know. We have been doing this for a long time.
Just once or twice.
Yeah. And this time, instead of us just blathering on about the things that we find interesting.
What do you mean blathering?
We're going to interview somebody very cool that you need to know more about.
Oh, so we found someone else to blather with us.
Life. Oh, you blather all the time.
Okay.
Just blather, blather, blather. Anyway, welcome Tim Ward, who is the author of Scavenger Evolution. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There are some who call me Tim.
Okay, then. That's awesome. You. I knew I heard
it
you
sounded
before.
Like it was going to be something super epic. There are some that call me master of all literature.
Wow, you were just called not epic. I want you to realize that was not me that said that.
No, it was
part of my plan
out.
Is being unsuspecting. So.
Oh, and just sneaking up on people. Huh? Yeah.
That's how you chop up the bodies. And that's why you need to be here for pre-shows, kids.
Well, Tim, hey, how about you start by telling our listeners about your story?
So Scavenger Evolution is the compiled first three parts in an epic that I'm writing in Hugh Howey's Sand universe. Have you guys ever heard of Hugh Howey or his book Sand?
Yeah.
I hear his books get everywhere.
Right. You know, you try to take a shower and you can't get it off.
They've been around. Yeah. So he wrote this book called Sand, and it's his newest science fiction book since Wool, which really just took off. And I used to podcast as Audio Tim and Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing. I ran that for about a year and got to know him through that. I loved Sand. It's this story about future America covered in desert, and they have technology called sand diving, which is essentially a scuba diving suit with an EMP pulse and a visor that connects to your temples so it can kind of read your thoughts, and you think... And it sends out a pulse and changes the sand to either be the consistency of water or stone. You can get buried. It's all about treasure hunting and bad guys. And so I wrote a story in that, got his permission. Gotta love the face of publishing changing so that we can write a story. And actually, Sand was my favorite read of last year. So I got to write a story in that world. My story was inspired by a traumatic event happened in Hugh's book, and there were some scavengers who were searching for bodies. He didn't really mention who they were searching for, and so I picked one of them. I'm not going to say who he was searching for because I don't want to spoil anything. Rush, 2 years ago, his son was killed in a sand spill, and since then he has quit diving. He was a dive master. But he gave it all up, pretty much left his wife. Now he is the janitor at a bar and whorehouse. And that's one of the parts that's actually in the book, the bar and whorehouse. That wasn't the first thing on my mind.
It's actually the name of the place, too.
The janitor job, though, there has to be, not so fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would not want to be
there. Snuck it in pretty smoothly there, Tim.
Bar and whorehouse.
I have turned a few readers off with that.
What? That's the biggest draw for me so far.
I was going to say our listeners are all about that so far. They're like, their ears perked up at the sound of whorehouse.
So the story for me was really emotional because I just had my first child last year.
Oh, congratulations. And
yes, thank you. This story about him losing his son and how it affected him really just kind of allowed me to imagine how that might affect me. It really puts him in a dark spot.
I was going to say, you're taking this to a dark, dark place, Tim.
It is a little bit challenging emotionally. But I don't know. I was going to say that I like to write hopeful stories, but I also like to surprise my readers. So, you know, I don't want people to read something and say, well, it's going to be a happy ending. So who cares?
You'll just have to read it and find out.
Well, that
right?
way, the that way your readers do stay hopeful because they're hopeful. This is not one of your really dark, depressing. Oh, I'm hoping! Yay, it's going to do it! Yay!
Yay. Well, that's good. So, how difficult is it to become a sand diver? Do you have? I mean, is it like years and years of training, or can people just? I mean, is it something that people also do recreationally, or no?
It's okay.
It is extremely dangerous. Rush used to teach. It's a lot like swimming, but you use your mind, and so there's a lot of physical stamina involved. There's a lot of mental stamina, because I mean, you're essentially swimming underneath, you know, meters of sand or whatever. It depends on how far you're trying to go.
They're on the metric system, though.
Yeah, that's helpful.
It's part of my research. That's how he wrote it, and so. One of the cities is, and now I'm going to forget how many meters, but it's like 300 meters. The sand is 300 meters above a skyscraper. So that's how deep the sand is. And then these people are trying to dive to excavate treasure from these cities. So if you can imagine having that much sand above you and you've got to, you know, bring air tanks. If you lose your focus, the sand starts to squeeze you. What's Hugh called coffining.
God, that's a creepy name.
Yeah, it's and I kind of took it to another level where he's able to manipulate sand in almost a magical way to try and be creative in ways to overcome obstacles that he'll face. So it's very challenging. And hopefully Rush is up to the challenge.
Well, here's the question I got for you. Writing in someone else's universe, I mean, especially someone that in a story that you like, a universe that you adore, that's got to be awesome. But how difficult is it? Because for your story, how much of that universe do you have to set up? Like for a new reader, obviously they should read his stories because that would flesh out what you're doing. But do they have to read his story before they can read yours?
Could they just pick up your book without having to have the source material?
Yeah, I wrote it so that you could pick up my book without having read his. I took a lot of the main principles. I took the sand diving. I made that as exact to what he has as I could. He's not a high-tech sci-fi writer, so it's not. There's not a ton of description on how it works. Like I said, it's just an EMP pulse and a visor that connects to your temple and a powered suit. It's not that complicated.
That's going to be for the best. It's, you know, easier to fix when there's less things moving.
Yeah. If he started getting into all kinds of crazy, like, doctoral stuff, I probably wouldn't have chosen it, or it would have taken me a lot longer.
No, everybody loves to write in Tom Clancy's universe because I like knowing that there's 762 bolts on a B-52 winger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not my style. I did read it 4 times, though, as part of my preparation.
Good, yeah.
So I took a lot of notes about, you know, because you do want to be accurate with the sand diving. I wanted to see exactly how he set up the world, the geography. And then I kind of scratched some of it because it didn't really work with the way I wanted to take my story. And that's kind of the freedom of writing fan fiction is you can choose whatever you want to keep and toss the rest for the sake of story.
So what would you have done if he had hated it? I'm not saying, I mean, you're, you know, I've read a little bit of it, just enough, just to tease, to know that you're very talented. Please don't get me wrong here. But like, when you write in someone else's universe, did he approve of it? Did he have changes that he wanted you to make? Or what would you have done if he had been like, dude, I'm sorry, you wrote all this. Nope.
Well, first, thank you. I appreciate that you read some and you enjoyed it. Actually, I haven't heard from him. So I don't know what to take from that.
Well, he took it this way. Is my check clearing? All right, let the kid write.
Yeah, well, he gave me permission to write, but I didn't have to send it by him first before I published it.
Interesting. Wow. That's a trusting individual.
Well, I mean, it's kind of nice. Yeah. It's more like an open source sort of, you know, thing.
I don't know that I can let something go like that.
Well,
I want people to contribute, but personally.
It's got to be an honor to have somebody want to write off of your universe. Yeah.
Oh my God, people are reading this. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Like to know it touched them like that, to make them want to do that, to rewrite from your universes.
That is kind of a cool thing.
It's pretty awesome.
So I think the important question here is how long before we can see, you know, a Tremors crossover?
Just because there happens to be some sand.
Just because there's sand. They're moving through. There's got to be something down there. No. I mean, there's not just people and drama. There's got to be monsters.
Are there monsters? Or is that a spoiler?
Yeah. And, you know, I really enjoyed Tremors growing up. So that's funny.
Kevin Bacon,
never even
you can't
thought
go
about
wrong.
That connection.
Well, that or, you know, you got to go Tremors or Blood Beach, and Tremors is the better option.
It kind of has. I used Alien as one of my keywords in the tagline, Dune meets Alien. So there's some horror to it. There aren't aliens, but just the idea of, because part two, Blue Dawn, goes into buried medical, or not medical, military fortress, and uncovers technology that explains a little bit of the sand diving, and another source of technology called Twin Suns, which is the third part. And in the process, some very bad people have come in, and... But probably worst of all is the technology, because when they uncover it, they don't know how to control it. And so, yeah, it gets pretty creepy, but it's not monsters. It's more the people already involved.
Because you could have the tagline, in sand, no one can hear you scream.
Wow.
Well, you wouldn't think about it. It's scientifically valid. And a creepy tagline. Okay, it worked for me. I'm sorry.
But it's got that same tension, you would say, like the same feel. Because that's the thing about Alien, is I feel like when I watch it, I'm on the edge of my seat. Even just nothing is happening and they're walking through the corridors. And part of that is the music, but part of that is just that you know something is going to happen and it's not going to be good.
Well, it's a haunted house in space. And Lord, he's talking about having a haunted house underground. So that's even weirder. That you can get coffined in. Ah!
Well, this is a question I always really like to ask authors, but besides the main character, who was the most fun character to write, or who was the character that you just had the best time with besides the main character in this story?
Star is his wife. She expands as a character in part two and really surprised me.
That's a crappy way to say she put on weight.
Yeah, she just went, you know...
She couldn't let go of the real bacon. That's what it was.
So she just has a lot of growth and development throughout the course of the story?
Part one's all about Rush and his desire to either harden his heart and become a bad guy or find a reason to do the right thing. And as I picked up part two, I thought, well, we've got to have a female character in here that's interesting. Part of his struggle is his marriage. It's probably the main struggle in this book. And
don't
so
I know
she
it.
She had to be a strong character for that to have a good conflict.
That's good. Well, you know, as a female reader of science fiction, I always like to have a strong female character. So thank you very much.
Especially when there's a bar and whorehouse involved.
Right. You're
just
funny.
I was just saying. Now, for clarity's sake, just to be completely clear on this, this is not about Rush Limbaugh.
Wow.
There is some innuendo.
Kept saying Rush. I didn't know if it was... Sorry if I spoiled the big surprise at the end. I did not mean to take that away from you.
No, that would be... Yeah. I steer clear of politics if I can.
Well, yeah, sure. And the best way to do that, go swimming in sand. You get away from it all. That's the ultimate ostrich syndrome if you think about it.
Yeah, I literally put my head in the sand on that one.
Now, this is your first book that you're having published. How has that experience been, and what would you have to recommend to writers who are looking to self-publish or become published?
Oh, man. I have written a few novels before this one. I spent about 4 years on one of them, rewrote it three times, paid two editors, one of them twice, the other one enough to be more than twice. And it was very complicated. It was a space opera with berserkers and telepaths. And telepaths are very hard to write, especially for a new writer. There are so many possibilities for what other characters could be doing that it was very hard for me to make it work. And that one... is still sitting in a drawer, and I just don't know if I have the capacity to rewrite it again because I've grown in the last 2 years since I last looked at it. So my first advice would be take your time and make sure that the first one that you publish is good, as much as maybe my advice or my experience of how much I paid editors may shy people away from that. This is 7 years in the running, so I've taken my time. I may not be doing it the right way, self-publishing, It has been a very... It hasn't sold as much as I hoped. And so every time I've paid the editor for this, it's coming out of my pocket. And so some people maybe, as much as I hear self-publishing is a good idea, and I do think that it is good for some people, it is mostly investment and not a whole lot of payback. With this one, I wanted to make it a book, and I've got another novel in submission. And, you know, I just bit the bullet on it, and I'll hope that it will sell. Paying for editing before you know that the editor likes what it is maybe a way to spend money that some people want to avoid.
I could see that. I mean, it's hard. It's got to be kind of risky of, you know, you put in the investment and you're not sure if it's going to pay out. But, you know, we're happy to kind of help you to spread the word about your stories. And hopefully some of our listeners will pick it up. Yeah, obviously, yeah, we still have that. Questions, but
I'm happy to be pimping it.
So where can people get your book and when does it come out?
Timothy C. Ward is my pen name. So if you go to timothycward.com, you can find the first two parts right now. Red Sands and Blue Dawn are on sale. Twin Sons is with the editor. That will be releasing February 1st. And then I gave myself a month. So March 1st is when Scavenger Evolution comes out in the compilation version. And another piece of advice I'd give for first-time authors is to give yourself that time to line up blog posts, podcasts, reviews. I've been seeing a lot of good things about the weight of release day having 25, 50 reviews posted. It really helps as far as marketing goes. You know, if you looked at a book on release day and it's got zero reviews, what do you think about that? You know?
Yeah. You know, oh yeah, I wanted you to buy this book. And no, yeah, visual crickets are probably the worst kind. Yeah, so yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's not even books. I won't buy anything without at least some reviews. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to know that. I mean, well, I like to be on the cutting edge. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Maybe depends on what it is. But yeah. I don't know. I like to know at least a handful of people who have tried it out first.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. So why in the world did you ever get started in writing? What about the writing bug? Why did it bite you? Where did it bite you? And did you see a doctor?
I probably should have seen a doctor. Well, let's see. Ninja Turtle comic books in kindergarten is my first foray into writing. But then it was in high school, pot-smoking... Skateboarding Mice in a Mansion Full of Cats was my first attempt at a novel.
If you could
publish
see the
that,
smile
I'll read that right now.
On Saucy's face right now.
that book will never see the light. Well, okay.
Never say never.
The two chapters that I wrote will never see the light of day.
You're breaking my heart.
I'm sorry. You know, that is something that I think is pretty cool.
My achy, breaky heart.
I think you could actually sell this to Adult Swim is what you could do with that. I mean, right now, they're
good.
Or whatever the Fox one is, I've already forgotten. I have no idea.
And then I went to college, wanted to be an English professor, graduated after taking some writing courses. And first I had an advisor say, there's no jobs in English professor field. so thanks for all your money. Have a nice day. And then,
well, then I'll just teach others to do it then. Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay.
But after that, it was like I didn't think I had enough experience in the world to write a story. You know, I lived in Iowa and Ohio, and I felt like I needed more experience. And so I took a couple years off and went to South Korea, taught English there, came back, went to seminary, and one of my roommates was a big sci-fi fan, and he asked me to write a book with him. And that just, you know, that was the bug that got me back into it. And that was about 7 years ago. And so ever since then, I've just been listening to podcasts and writing as much as I can.
And that's why everyone's going to get it. They're going to pick it up. It's going to be fantastic.
Sounds great.
I do like that. But the real reason that you're here, the real reason that everybody's here is because it's time to play a game.
It's time to play the multiverse's favorite guessing game. Do you know the truth when you hear it?
Shut up!
Can you spot a lie?
Oh, hell no!
Play along with the GRD crew as they decide...
Shut up!
Or, oh hell no!
Indeed, the multiverse's favorite game is that time. Tim is going to be playing as our contestant, of course. He's our leader on this. Tim's going to be telling us some facts about himself, some true, true facts about himself. And the three of us will determine what we best know, because we've been doing nothing but studying up. We've actually been editing your Wikipedia page lately. So hopefully you match what's there.
Did you make one for me? That would be great.
Oh, Wikipedia doesn't like any of the things that I like to say.
No. But yeah, I'll be keeping score. And this is usually a lot of fun, and it helps that our listeners to really get to know the real you. So
mostly
go ahead,
it's
and,
fun. Mostly.
Hit us with one of your quote-unquote true facts.
My son's name means dolphin in Greek.
Wow, that's an interesting start to this game. Why not? I'll take the bullet. Show enough.
Ah, hell no.
Show enough.
What you got, sir?
False. Show enough.
Oh. Hell no.
Oh.
So that is 1 point. Sorry. To Saucy. Oh, yes. Hell no. What is your son's name?
It's actually dolphin in Spanish, is what it is.
It's actually and in Greek. That's not the reason why I named him that, but it is.
Okay. Oh, well, Dolphin. I see what you did there. Oh, you're sneaky.
His name's Kai, and it was my German name so in high school. So
sweet, sweet.
Oh. All right. That's
ready for number two?
Yeah, make it happen.
I've surfed with tiger sharks.
Well, you got to go first on this one.
Show enough.
See, show enough. That's my gut feeling, as was the dolphin one.
Oh, hell no.
Show enough.
Show enough!
Ooh, somebody's winning the game right now.
I mean, what can
I
say?
Where did you surf with tiger sharks?
I studied abroad in Australia.
Yeah, but where did you surf with tiger sharks? No, I'm sorry.
It was they were baby tiger sharks.
Oh, okay.
But I got sharks straight out of the water after that.
Did you have to do the obligatory dunna, dunna, dunna?
Oh, I was hearing that for sure.
All right, currently the score is Saucy 2, Billy Flynn 1, Flynnster's Goose Egg.
Oh, yeah, you missed that one.
Yeah,
that's
I did.
That's crazy.
So, next true fact.
I've eaten octopus.
Show enough.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Show enough.
Oh! Got in my head, Saucy.
You didn't like it, though.
Octopus is like calamari. Like, just about everybody's probably eaten octopus.
But he didn't like it.
Did
Tim?
You like it?
No. Tim, did
no,
you like it?
It tastes like fat.
Exactly. He had no conviction
that.
When he said he had octopus.
I ate octopus?
He don't even know what he ate. He know he didn't like it.
Did you eat it in Australia or in the United States, or was it exciting?
That was one of my students in South Korea invited me to dinner, and I had no idea. And then an octopus was put out in front of me.
Whoa.
And I was pretty hungry, but I wasn't that
awesome.
Hungry.
So awesome.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Next.
I've shot a bobcat.
Show enough.
Show enough.
Oh, hell no.
He lived in Iowa, man.
Oh, hell no.
Oh,
yay.
Oh hell no.
You just shot Bob.
That was a good one.
I did shoot Bob.
Okay.
And his cat.
What about Bob? Tim shot him. That's what happened.
Ha ha ha.
Thank you.
My uncle would go jogging and tell us about bobcats, and that's just terrifying.
Yeah, I would not like to run around and find a bobcat on my morning jog.
I'd still be doing dud, and that would still be the theme for me.
You're funny.
Shark cat.
All right, the score is currently tied. Saucy 2, Flynn 1, yep. Flynnstress 2.
So it's tied between you two.
Okay.
Right.
I started off so... Okay.
Well, here's your chance. Let's have one more true fact.
For Halloween last year, I went as Stephen King with a mist bottle and fell and bruised my tailbone.
Show enough.
Show enough.
Who you're thinking. Do, 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 do.
Oh, hell no.
Saucy wins. Hell no.
Hell no.
But you love Stephen King. You're writing about sand, for the love of God.
I know. Well, I've got my costume for next year anyway.
A bottle of mist is pretty clever, though.
With a bruised tailbone. I don't know how you're going to put that in the costume, but I can't wait to see the picture.
Uh-oh. Saucy might just win the game. Okay. Do you have a few more prepared?
Yeah, I've got one more.
All right. All right. So this last one is worth 5 points.
Because the rest of them never really matter. So you really never had a chance to win. Just so
this
you know,
one
Saucy.
Is worth 5 points. Are you ready?
All right. Here we go. I'm going to win it.
I beta tested Doom 2.
I'm not going first.
Shonuff.
I'm not going second.
Shonuff.
Oh, hell no.
Billy Flynn wins.
Oh! Really?
Oh, no.
What does that make the score there, scorekeeper?
That makes the score. Billy Flynn, 6. Saucy, 3. Flynn's just 2.
You're half as good as I am, sir. Half as good.
Womp, womp, womp.
See, At first I was going to say yeah on that because I know people that have been betas on some weird things. My own claim to fame was being a beta tester for Xbox Live. So it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, I thought maybe you'd use your sand hookup.
There, actually, I saw
cheaters.
The person who did, and he showed me there's this way up into a cave, and there's on the inside of the cave, there's like a room with pictures of all the people that helped with it, and he was on there, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Wow, they didn't immortalize me in a game. That's a damn shame.
Nope.
That is a damn shame. Well, thank you, sir, for playing. We certainly do appreciate it. It makes me feel good when I can beat other people without, you know, actual physical clubs or whatnot. But people need to know how to reach you, so make sure.
A real point system.
So throw this out again. How can people reach you? How can people find you? Most importantly, how can people buy your book?
TimothyCWard.com. I've got a Join My Newsletter page on there. If you sign up for that, I'll give you updates and enter you in for a giveaway. I've also got a giveaway running on Goodreads right now. So if you go to Goodreads and search Scavenger Evolution or Timothy C. Ward, that's running through February 23rd. And I've got 3 signed paperbacks as part of that.
Ooh.
And it's Scavenger, the serialization is only on Kindle right now. But March 1st, when Scavenger Evolution comes out, it's going to be on all platforms.
Excellent. Okay.
Excellent. Well, definitely go check it out, listeners. And thank you so much, Timothy Ward, for coming on our show.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, thank you. It was awesome.
You know what I should have told him before he left?
What?
He really needs to call this damn book Mindswimmers. Mindswimmers.
And I got to ask that question I've been wanting to ask.
That's so fantastic. I'm so glad of that. So, yeah. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, great time.
That is fantastic.
Thanks for coming on the show, Tim.
So we'll see you around and we'll see you sometime. God only knows when, because this is all confusing.
In a sweet.
Sure. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attributions, Non-Commercial, Non-Derived Works, United States 3.0 license. Make sure you come check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. It's always a good place to do it. Always a good place to do it. You can drop a note, too. It's podcast, Billy Flynn, Flintsters, Saucy, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or if you'd like your dulcet tones to be heard, please send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
I'm sorry, where is that again now?
510-GRD-CREW.
And we shall see you in a week.
That was lame.
Well, that went well.
You are all weirdos.
Maybe we'll never know who killed Haman Lee. JK, I know. I guess I know exactly who did it. It's very clear from the call records and the pings and all the things that are sort of mapped out on the cell towers. Take Jay. Jay's a guy who just stabs someone to
Don't fun. Know if you have
Edmund's
a payphone.
Core muscles. Don from Len's.
Why pee so close to the road?
He can't
so
say one bad
really
thing
knows
about
so no one thinks it was Best Buy.
Don't kid yourself.
What if it was 40 episodes? What if it was 90?
You were stepping out on Stephanie, is that correct?
What do you want?
I do a podcast. It was supposed to be for 4 people. Do you think if I thought this was going to be anything, I would have MailChimp sponsor us? What do you want to know? Do you want to know who did it? Fine. I have a confession for you. It was me. It was Sarah Koenig, okay? I did it. I guess I did it for that sweet, sweet MailChimp money, okay? I'm out of here. And by the way, Crab Crib is having a big sale on shrimp, so get your ass down there.
This is a Global Tellink prepaid call from Sarah Koenig, an inmate at Maryland Correctional Facility.
Hey, Sarah. It's Adnan. So, like, how's jail?
You know, it's not the worst. I'm kind of a cook now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I just feel like...
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I understand.
You were saying. Go ahead. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.